A classic edition of Daily Bread.
Abba, we trust you. Jesus, we adore you. Holy Spirit, we give our lives to you. Praise you, Holy Trinity. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Welcome, brothers and sisters. I'm Father Al Lauer. The program is called Daily Bread, and we're glad to share the Word of God with you. How precious it is. What a great opportunity. Don't take it for granted. So many people do not have these opportunities. Thank God for what He is giving us. Please get into the Word of God. Go to Mass today. If you've already gone to Mass, live the Mass. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us repent. The Lord wants to forgive us. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand.
I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for all those who are suffering right now, for those who are victims of injustice and persecution. We ask, Lord, that these brothers and sisters will have justice, but also will have forgiveness in their heart and receive your mercy and give your mercy. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're going to talk about something very practical, about temptations. And we all go through temptations. Whether we overcome these temptations will have a tremendous significance in our lives and after our lives. You know, when you look, you can put it real simply. If you overcome the temptations, you have freedom, purity, victory. You live forever with the Lord. If you don't overcome them, you hate yourself. You get pushed around. You become a slave of the evil one. You just get used and abused. And eventually, you go to hell and get separated from God forever and damned forever in terrible, terrible suffering. You know, so it's pretty practical, isn't it? Whether we overcome temptations or not. Look at our first reading. This is James in chapter 1, verse 12 and the following. It's a little bit confusing in the Bible and the New Testament because the word for temptation and trial is the same word. Now, of course, those two things are different. A temptation, there's an issue of sin, a possibility of sin. A trial, there's just the issue of suffering, not necessarily sin. Obviously, there is often temptations in trials, but not always. But in the Greek, the word trial and temptation are the same word. So it's a little bit confusing. So sometimes they're talking about trial where there's really no temptation to sin. Other times they're talking about the temptation to sin. So they start off here in James 1, verse 12. Happy the man who holds out to the end through trial. That's probably the best way to translate that, meaning we're not necessarily talking about temptations to sin, but just struggles in life. And then he goes on then and says, no one who is tempted is free to say, I'm being tempted by God. Now, trials can be at least given, at least permitted by God, and even in one way, you know, given by God. But not a temptation to sin. God's not going to tempt you to sin. There it is in James 1. Surely God, who is untouched by evil, tempts no one. You know, in the Our Father, when we say, lead us not into temptation, that's not the greatest translation, because obviously God, our Father, is not leading us into temptation. Is a good parent ever going to lead a child into temptation? Is a good parent going to come up to the kid and say, hey, would you like to commit adultery? Is a good parent going to come up to a kid and say, how about some cocaine? Well, no. And God, the Father, is not going to tempt his children. And that's what James 1 brings up. But, well, then how are we tempted? The tug and lure of our passion tempts every man. There are three sources of temptations to sin. This one, our passion, which we could call our fallen nature, our flesh, if you want to use a biblical term. And then the world. The world doesn't just mean birds and trees and things like that, but the system that operates irrespective of the Lordship of Jesus. So people tempt us. We get tempted all the time. We get tempted by the ways of the world. And of course the devil tempts us. His name is Tempter, one of his names. And so there are three sources of temptation, and this is traditional Catholic spirituality: the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's kind of good to know those three sources because you deal with them differently. If it's the flesh, Galatians 5, you crucify the flesh. If it's the world, Galatians 6, you crucify yourself to the world. If it's the devil, you take authority over the devil and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan be gone. Jesus did that in Matthew and chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4. And so there's a little difference in what you do depending on the source of the temptation. And now it's good to know a little bit more about the process of temptation, which is touched upon in the book of James. In James 1, it says, once passion has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin reaches maturity, it begets death. So here we've got passion and a temptation kind of copulating, having intercourse in a manner of speaking, and passion and temptation. Passion meaning desires. These conceive. So now we've got the beginning of sin. But then there's more to it. Now sin can be birth, and sin can reach maturity. That shows you it's hard to find one sin. But we should abort the sin as soon as possible. And not let it get born. And we want to kill the sin before it kills us, because eventually that sin that has been conceived, if we let it be born, come to term, if we let it grow up, it will kill us. It will beget death. But you see, you better nip sin in the bud, or better than that, prevent it right away. We need to be contraceptive as far as sin is concerned. We should never conceive it. We should be contra-conceiving. It's just the opposite of the way of life. So we should be not abortifacient and contraceptive of life, but abortifacient and contraceptive of sin. Don't ever let sin get born in your life. Always abort it. That means go to confession as soon as you commit it. Or better than that, contraconcept it. Refuse to conceive it. Refuse to sin. Overcome the temptations. Isn't that kind of interesting to see how James talks about the process of committing a sin and what happens after that? Sin begets sin, that's for sure. All right, a few more details about the process of temptation. If passion, our desires, are a big problem in temptation, obviously we need to control them. And what really triggers our desires? Our sensory experiences. You see this person and you have a desire for her. You hear this, you smell this, you touch this, you are touched. What sensory experiences trigger desires in us and get our desires really interested in having intercourse with temptations. And so we've got to have what the Catholic spirituality has said for years, the custody of the senses. We've got to watch what we see. As it says in Isaiah 33, we've got to close our eyes and that we do not see evil, or close our ears that we do not hear evil. Do you see how this works? Sometimes these temptations can be extremely hard to deal with, as you know. Even if we have good custody of the senses, we cannot help hearing certain things or seeing certain things. We can cut it back quite a bit, especially by putting the TV where it belongs, in the garbage can, if you know what I mean. But look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No test, and better translated, temptation has been sent that does not come to all men. Besides, God keeps his promise. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. Along with the test, he will give you a way out of it so that you may be able to endure it. Now, this can apply to trials, but it also can apply to temptations. There's always a way out, brothers and sisters, but you better take your way out right away before it closes up. So, resisting temptation doesn't mean I'll get to it. It means get to it yesterday. You know what I mean? 1 Peter chapter 5, a little bit more about this. Now, some temptations come from the flesh, our own fallen human nature, some from the world, other people's fallen human nature, and the whole system that is developed out of that. And then some come from the devil. You can see this in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Stay sober and alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So you've got to be real alert if you're going to resist temptation. Resist him. Solid in your faith. You've got to have faith, realizing that the brotherhood of believers is undergoing the same sufferings throughout the world. You know, a lot of times you think you're the only one in the world being tempted like this, and so you're an exception to the rule. And once you think you're an exception to the rule, you think, well, maybe I don't have to obey the rule. Well, you get the idea. We've got to change here. So there's a lot of wisdom in the Bible about temptations, the dynamics of temptation. A lot there in James, some real great insights in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, Isaiah 33, 1 Peter 5. And just look at Jesus. Look at Jesus in the desert being tempted. He was led there by the Holy Spirit. He fought that Satan by pulling out the scriptures. And the issue was, is he going to believe he's a child of God? You check the Catechism of the Catholic Church in section 538. And it says the issue is filial relationship. Do we really believe we're sons and daughters of God the Father? Ultimately, that's the bottom line in temptation after temptation. What was Jesus doing before the temptations? Praying and fasting. So when you think temptations, think power of the Holy Spirit. Think scriptures. Think I'm a child of God the Father. Think prayer. Think fasting. Jesus in the agony of the garden. Once again, it was that soberness. It was that alertness. And once again, it was that prayer. And once again, it was resisting to the point of shedding blood, as it says in Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 4. And once again, it was about denying our very selves and saying, not my will, but God's will be done. Well, brothers and sisters, we're facing temptations every day. We're facing a giant one at the end of our lives and at the end of the world. And therefore, we've got to get ready. Come on, brothers and sisters, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit so you will have the power to overcome every temptation. Okay, we're running out of time. We'd be glad to send you this week our literature catalog, whatever will help you in the faith. Our address, Presentation Ministries, 3230 McHenry, Cincinnati, 45211. 3230 McHenry, Cincinnati, 45211. And our phone number, 513-662. It's easy to remember, J-E-S-U. It even rhymes, 513-662-J-E-S-U. On the internet, www.presentationministries.com. God bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.